Interview with Dr. Scott Deese, Swine Disease Eradication Center, University of Minnesota. On your first presentation today, tell us where this study is at now.
Well, I think the main point of today was there should be a feeling of optimism in regards to long-term PERS solutions, because we've developed a lot of new tools at University of Minnesota, Iowa State University, as well as in the industry, and we've answered questions that we hadn't had in the past. And so now with new information and new technologies, I think I would like to take a step forward and say we can be optimistic in controlling this disease and eventually eliminating it from big populations over the long term.
What are those new tools that are being worked on that gives you that optimism?
The first one I highlighted was what we call oral fluid sampling that's been developed at Iowa State University, which basically takes saliva samples using cotton ropes placed in finishing pens and found to be very, very effective at measuring PERS infections in those populations. So it gets away from having to bleed pigs, and it appears to be very easy to do and very cost-effective. So that's a great step forward, because that way we can measure and monitor the infection status of many, many barns in an area with a lot less work and a lot less cost. The second technology was air filtration, which we've used to show that we can stop virus from entering a farm. We've always been able to clean it up, but those farms are at risk for reinfection with new strains from the outside. It's very, very economically devastating to go through a cleanup program and then get reinfected right away. So we've shown that appears to be a very effective way to keep virus out. We talked about using existing vaccinations in different ways, such as vaccinating infected populations and actually reducing transmission. We talked also finally about tools to look at regions, to look at groups of farms in an area, such as GIS, such as the PADRAP, or the risk assessment tool from the AASV, as well as gave an example of a collaborative producer effort in west central Minnesota, where producers really have gotten together and cleaned each other up and worked together in the first known event I've ever seen where we've made such progress over a large region, thanks to good leadership from producers.
Talk a little bit about the economic impact if we can clean up PERS, get rid of it, eradicate it. What's the economic impact of that?
Right. Right now, there's been a lot of well-documented data that shows that PERS costs our U.S. industry at least $560 million a year. And that analysis was done before corn got so high, so it's obviously a much higher amount these days. There's a lot of good data shows that the cost per pig of PERS is $5 to $7 U.S. in losses, with poor performance, higher mortality, poor feed efficiency, extra medications. That's a lot of money spread across all the pigs we raise in the United States. And so if we can reduce that cost, that drain on the pig performance, it's going to have huge returns to the producer.
You also mentioned during your talk that if we get rid of PERS, we can piggyback that on eliminating some other concerns too, right?
Right. There's been a lot of well-documented veterinary experiences where PERS eradication has resulted in other elimination of other diseases from the farm, particularly Mycoplasma pneumoniae. We're seeing similar results with our air filtration studies, where our filters appear to be effective not only against PERS virus airborne spread, but also against Mycoplasma pneumoniae airborne spread. That's a bacteria that's also in the lung, and when those two agents are together in the pig, it's a very devastating combination. I also would speculate that we'd have the same effect on swine influenza virus with our air filtration systems. So, yeah, I think it's got, as you well put it, piggybacking opportunities.
How long is your current study on PERS going to go?
We've been studying air filtration for a three-year period of time, with a study running at our research site in west central Minnesota, which is set up to resemble a neighborhood of pork production. Basically, it's a cluster of small buildings where to represent a neighborhood of farmers, and we'll inoculate, one farm will get infected, and we'll see how the virus spreads in that little model. And what we've done is try to arm some of the neighbors in that model with different levels of biosecurity, including an air filter system, as well as the neighbor without an air filtration system.
And in this little model of buildings, that producer with an air filtration system has stayed free of PRRS virus and Mycoplasma pneumoniae infection now for almost a three-year period of time. His neighbor, the one without the filter system, becomes infected 30 to 50% of the time. So in that model, which is small scale, it appears that the filter are indeed effective against those two diseases. We've then gone into the field working with some clinics in southern Minnesota, Pipestone Veterinary Clinic, Fairmont Veterinary Clinic, and Swine Vet Center in St. Peter, and looked at applying this technology to large sow farms in swine-dense regions. That project is almost 1 year running, and we've had some very interesting results in the filtered farms versus our non-filtered farms, similar results to what we've seen in our model. We want to run it longer. We want to test its sustainability. We want to evaluate its cost-benefit, but I'm optimistic that it will show that it will pay for itself and prevent a new virus or new pathogen introduction. So that's why I'm so excited today to talk about the future.
Now, you mentioned the key area of the swine production that holds the key for where to start eradication.
Well, there's been a county project in west central Minnesota that Bob Morrison from our group has been leading for a couple of years. And that region was chosen because it doesn't have a great deal of surrounding pig density. It's not like Martin County down in southern Minnesota where you've got the challenge is a lot higher down there. So if you're going to start a project like that, let's find maybe an easier region to test it, first of all, to see it works. Now, this region is very interesting. It's my old practice region. It's got a lot of seed stock production. So there's a lot of understanding of biosecurity and diagnostic testing and the importance of health. And so those producers they've been living that for many, many years, and they understand how important it is to keep diseases out. And it's been fun to see them get together and work together to solve problems in very innovative ways. So that's where the first project has been actually tried, and it's looking very promising at this time.
But generally, to begin the eradication process, you mentioned the starting place would be the sow herd.
Well, first of all, we started cleaning up the boar studs, and that's where the air filters have been applied for a number of years now, because if you can't deliver a non-infected semen, you're in big trouble. So the boar studs, we've got many years of at least 3 years now of proof that we can keep those boar studs free of infection. Now we're trying the filter systems on the sow farms because we have to produce a non-infected pig to go into our weaned finishing barns to really make control a viable entity. The sow farms are a lot harder because they're much bigger. There's a lot more workers there. It's much more difficult to apply the filter system to a big, big facility like that versus a smaller boar stud. So the boar studs are easy, and now we're taking the next step into a little bit more uncharted territory, looking at the sow farm. But so far, so good. We'll see how it shakes out.
When you were asked how long it's going to take to lick PRRS, what do you say?
I always say 20 years because it calms people's nerves, and they don't think I'm going to ram something down their throat, or I don't think we even need to get the government involved. I think this is something that producers can do together with veterinarians, with the universities, with the allied industries, and that's why I'm excited about the advancements in the last couple of years, because we've answered questions that have always plagued us as far as, can we really do this? You know, can we really keep new viruses out of farms? Can we really sample large numbers of barns cost-effectively, repeatedly over time? Can we really develop tools we can use to understand the big picture of an area versus just the individual farm? The answer clearly is yes to all those questions, and so let's move forward and see what we can do.
I guess if a producer is tips for producers, I guess if they're really serious about going after this and getting it out of their herds, what suggestions do you have? What course of action do you suggest?
First thing to do is talk to your vet, because there you can put together a plan on how best to do it. Is it a depopulation, repopulation? Is it a herd closure? Is it to use a vaccine? What's the best strategy for this farm? Because each farm's an individual entity, each producer's an individual. But then the veterinarian's the best person who understands all of these different techniques and protocols and can help that producer make a decision on which way to go. So that's step number one. And after that, it really depends on which road they take, because all of those techniques have been proven for many years now to eliminate virus from a farm. The challenge is keeping the new strains out, and that's where we've gone with the filters.